Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Today, my guest is Kali Turner. Kali is the founder of Heroic Gardens, which is a nonprofit whose mission is to connect veterans, active duty, and their families with plants and nature. So, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me on. Let's see. Heroic Gardens actually started 2 years ago. We started in 2018. And, you know, personally, my background relating to even wanting to start this is I am a daughter of a veteran, the granddaughter of a veteran. I have grown up around the American Legion Auxiliary and the VFW my entire life. And the flip side of this is that gardening has always been the norm in my family. So my grandparents were very big gardeners, very sustainable. My mother was a conservationist. So, you know, combining the two, I had no idea early on that this was something that I would be pursuing. But as time went on, it just made so much sense from a healing perspective. So thinking about what I'm doing in the garden, you know, things I'm contemplating, the headspace that I'm clearing. And it wasn't really until I was taking care of my grandmother and I had realized that she had never applied for my grandfather's death benefits. And so I went through that whole process. It took about 3 years, but I did meet somebody in my local VA who actually helped me shepherd it through. And what was interesting about her is that wasn't her primary job. Her job was actually to find homes for our servicemen and women when they were coming back from overseas. So here she takes, you know, that's a huge job, right? She takes time out of her schedule to help me with my grandmother, who at the time was about 93, receive these benefits. And, you know, my thought initially when this happened was, how can I help her? What can I do to give back? And anybody can write a check. It was so much deeper of a connection than that. So I started thinking about, you know, when these guys and gals are coming back and they are securing homes, is there an opportunity for us to sort of add on to that and help them with their landscaping? So it was this like simple idea in my mind that I was sort of swirling around for a couple of years. And I didn't know, you know, what I was really thinking about, because it is so much deeper than that. And it does play into what we offer now. I mean, we are 100% volunteer based, but what we offer is, you know, that opportunity to come out and help a veteran in need with the restoration of their property, right? And that helps with, you know, teaching them about sustainability, teaching them about, you know, the connection with plants and how it can help reduce stress and anxiety. But it also helps them with beautification and pride. So that's just one service. But when we started, that was sort of our main function.
Awesome.
Long-winded yeah. answer, I know.
No, that's a great answer. I always like hearing the background stories where people came from and how they got started doing what they're doing and you know, why they're doing the type of stuff that they're doing. So that was a great answer to that question. But let's talk about gardening specifically. What is it about the gardening in and of itself that acts as a benefit to veterans or the military community, the people that you're working with? What is the benefit for them to get their hands in the dirt and, you know, work with the plants and, you know, things like that. What is the actual benefits that they are seeing from that?
Yes, it's a great question. So, you know, first off, let's think about plants. Just everybody out there, just pause for a minute. You know, if you're near a window, right, what are you looking at? What's potentially outside or what's on your windowsill? There are plants everywhere around us, right? So think back, right, to seventh grade science class and the idea that plants are giving off, you know, one of the many things that they are giving off is oxygen, right? We need that to breathe. So plants are part of who we are fundamentally in our fiber. But guess what? We eat them. We wear them. They're in our building materials and they're nature outside. They were meant to be hand in hand with who we are as humans. So what do they do to help us? Well, you know, when you're working with plants, it's actually scientifically proven that you can help reduce stress or fatigue, depression, pain, those sorts of elements, right? Symptoms of ADHD. And where you see the improvements, it's been proven, are things like bone strength or cognition, your concentration, your ability to be a little bit more empathetic, and your overall mood and relaxation. So, you know, you can get some of the elements that you might find in exercising or having an animal or, you know, painting. It has all of those elements. It's just being out in nature, connecting with something that inherently as a human being, you should be anyway.
You know, it's interesting. On this show, I've had several people on talking about different things that they have done or are helping other people do to using maybe let's just say alternative forms of therapy. You know, whether it's art. You know, like you mentioned, or maybe it's something else like. Getting outside and going on hikes and that type of thing, you know, that type of stuff that people are doing is something that people are doing to reconnect with nature, getting outside, you know, with the artwork, you know, maybe going out and painting a landscape or something, you know, getting yes. back out into nature. And it's interesting to see just, you know, another example of being outside, getting involved with the plants themselves, and you know, how that could possibly be helping people, you know, with these things like PTSD and anxiety and other you know, conditions like that. So it's interesting to hear how that works. But I can imagine that it's you know, part of it is just being mindful of you know, things that are going on around you. You know, if you're tending to a garden, you know, and you forget about it for a week or two or three, it's probably not going to work out too well. You know, if you're not, you know, weeding it and watering and fertilizing and all this other stuff, that it's almost like you said, it's almost like taking care of an animal or you know, perhaps even a child or something along those lines, where yes. where you do have to sort of be present to take care of these things and you know, mindful of what's going on. You know, is it getting too much water or not enough water? You know, all that type of stuff. You really have to be thinking about it. You know, and that I could see kind of grounding, you know, excuse the pun, but grounding people, you know, to be more present and focused on the world around them.
Yeah, you absolutely got that right. You are caring for a living thing. Yeah. I mean, and you know, it really, it's not just sort of, you know, putting a plant in the ground and watching it grow. There are other aspects. I mean, there is this whole world and ecosystem going on in a garden. If you've ever seen A Bug's Life, it's really true. You know, just being still and watching. You can learn so much about a plant, about the ground in front of you, the animals and insects that live there, the pollinators that live there, what their functions are. Anybody can read all this in the books or can go online, but why not experience it firsthand?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And, you know, our neighborhood that we live in, there's a gardening club of sorts. I forget the exact name of it now, but, and a few of the local parks that are in our neighborhood, they have these big, concrete planters that, you know, filled with the dirt and everything. And so often they go out and they plant new plants in there, whether there's vegetables in there, sometimes just different types of plants. And you know, it's there for the community to enjoy, the neighborhood to enjoy. You know, when you're at the park with your kids, you can see the plants growing and things like that. But I imagine the people who are involved in that community, it is a community, you know, where they can get together and they work together as a team, and they do the gardening together. That, you know, everything from planting the seeds to checking up on the plants periodically. You know, I'm sure that's all teamwork driven. You know, where they're all taking care of it together, which to me as a veteran. You know, who after getting out of the military, you sort of miss out on that camaraderie and that teamwork aspect that comes with being in the military. I could see that this is perhaps another way of working in that teamwork aspect.
Yeah, I love that you just said that because, you know, one of the most gratifying things has been seeing our veterans and civilians coming together to basically fulfill a mission. And usually when we work on a property, we have teams, right? So you're randomly assigned to a team. You don't know when you volunteer if you're going to just be all civilians, if you will have a veteran involved. And what's been even more gratifying is when we are working on a veteran's property, the number of veterans that actually come out, which of course, they always want to help. They will drive great lengths to come out. And then the conversations that ensue, you know, even amongst different branches, right? These are conversations that us as civilians, we can't understand, but it is so powerful to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's occurring. It's occurring while, you know, we're building a patio or we're planting flowers or we're digging a trench. Which we have done all of these things, or we're, you know, taking out bamboo with a backhoe. I mean, things I never thought I'd say in my lifetime, right? But all of these things are happening, and it is incredible. It is incredible to get ROTC students with veterans. That is, you know, and so I look at it as we are providing this situation. In the outdoors, no matter if it's at an individual veteran's home or it's at a transitional housing unit, which it could be somewhere in the community, it could be at a park. We are providing that space for this group of individuals to come together and have an experience.
Yeah, and so you mentioned that. There, you know, various locations where these you know, gardens are. Where are they? Where are they typically taking place? Where are these gardens typically happening? In are they specific to a veteran's home, or could anyone across the country be able to take advantage of the type of resources that you offer?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, you know what, it goes back to the original idea, right? So, and how we expanded our services. So we really started by saying, okay, you know, in the simplest form, we're going to help veterans on a fixed income restore their properties. That sounds good. But what it has mushroomed into is, hey, you know what? Within our communities, so, you know, I'm based right outside of Philadelphia. Within our communities, we have veterans that are living in transitional housing, and they have outdoor spaces available to them that haven't been touched. Or they've been touched, but maybe they aren't ADA compliant. That drives me bananas, because we've got folks, you know, that have come back disabled and they can't even get out into a courtyard because there is no access. So we try to look at things like that, where we can actually help, even understanding like where's the water source. And then what we do is we work with those veterans to either do a couple of things, because you'd be surprised. A lot of folks know a lot about plants. They just don't talk about it. But if they're given the opportunity, then, and the choice, guess what? We have this whole different kind of conversation, right? So what we do is we go out and we talk with, you know, either the individual veteran or the veterans that might be living in this particular space. We find out what they want. What are their favorite colors? What, you know, what triggers like a amazing memory of their childhood? And we involve them in that process. And then we also talk about, you know, well, how do they cook? You know, depending upon where they live, what's important? Because is there an element there where we could be also installing herbs? And we kind of joke about the idea of a pizza garden, but how amazing is that, right? And you know, before COVID, we were planning to do a light cart inside in a veteran center where these guys would actually be responsible for growing all of the pizza garden related materials. And then we would harvest, we would have the pizza party, right? And we would also dry some of the herbs for spices to have in the cafeteria. Sure. So, you know, there are, I think plants are so embedded in our lives that we just forget about not only how important they are, but we also forget about how things are made. And could we actually be a part of that? So, you know, the other thing I want to mention from a service perspective is we also help veterans grow plants indoors. And we also offer horticultural therapy activities. And so what does that mean? Well, literally, it's the opportunity in a small group to get together and do some sort of activity that just feels good, right? It may not be, you know, planting a seed in some soil, but it's something related to plants. It's just what it sounds like, horticulture therapy, right? It's the art of plants as it pertains to healing. So we offer that, and what we've learned, especially actually last year, we did a lot with female veterans, is it opens up the room. So you find, you know, veterans that may not have been talking to one another, all of a sudden they are collaborating on a project. They're expressing their opinion, right? They're making a choice about how they want something to look. It's incredible. And doing this on a consistent basis, it's all about a relationship that is developing, and a friendship, frankly. So we're doing a lot. Well, we're trying to do a lot anyway.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Well, one thing that you mentioned earlier, and I didn't want to stop you as you were talking about that, but one thing that you mentioned was that some of the indoor gardening activities that you do, and that was a question that I had, because there are some people who veterans especially who might live in maybe an apartment, and they don't necessarily have access to a backyard that they can go out and garden, or maybe there's a community space that they have access to, but they don't necessarily have access to plant a garden in that that community outdoor space or whatever. So what does that look like for somebody who's whose gardening space is kind of confined more to the indoors. What does that look like for those types of people?
That's a great question, because that was one of the questions actually early on in our, you know, when we first started. That was some of the pushback we got from the city, from some of the housing groups, because they said, well, we don't have a space, so we can't use you. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And in fact, you know, having COVID occur has really sort of fortified how we can do this indoors. So we're based in the Delaware Valley, but this is an opportunity, I think, to help veterans get involved nationally, is we are starting a program called Mission Windowsill. And the idea is that you can register with us to receive a windowsill kit. And so, you know, it comes with all of the things that you will need, all the elements, right? The soil, the seeds, the pots, and some instruction so you can grow something on your windowsill. If you have a windowsill, right? Everybody out there, if you have a windowsill, you can grow anything. But what's amazing about this is we're not just shipping it off and saying, have a good time. We actually want people to register because we want to follow up with Zoom calls. We want to teach you about this. We want you to feel satisfied. We want to know when you have successes. We want to know if something's not working, because you need to realize that you're not alone. Right? Like we were talking about earlier, there have been many plants that allegedly they're extremely easy to grow, and I have killed them. So, you know, that's just putting it out there. And I know I'm not alone, but the consistency and the camaraderie and watching things grow, and knowing that other people are out there doing the same thing at the same time, we're just so excited about the idea of this. And it could happen nationally.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with things like Zoom calls, you know, that are becoming more and more popular these days, especially with COVID, the situation that we all find ourselves in here. You know, we have access to this technology. Why not put it to good use? You know, you're providing this service, but just because you're in one part of the country doesn't mean that somebody on the other side of the country can't benefit from this as right. well. You know, it's not like the old days where, you know, a phone call across the country costs more than it did down the street.
Right. Remember that?
So, I mean, you know, you can hop on a Zoom call with someone in California just as easily as you could in, you know, Pennsylvania or, you know, somewhere else. So, I mean, I think it's great that there's access to do this, no matter what your living situation is, as long as you have a windowsill that you can put something out on, you know, you can start growing all sorts of different types of plants. This answer might be, the answer might just be that it varies, but what is the time commitment that someone might be looking at in order to build a successful garden? Is this something that takes weeks or months, or is it something that is going to evolve over time as they improve their skills, you know, to do this type of thing?
So are we talking about indoor or outdoor, Scott?
Well, let's go with both.
All right. Well, let's talk about outdoor for a minute, because, you know, when we actually have an application process, and we ask a lot of questions around that, because what we want to know is, you know, do you live with your family? Who's going to be tending to this? Are you tending to this? Like, are you going to be helping watch this? Like, you know, what we also want to know about your property, right? We want to know what kind of shade you have, all those things that you might want to think about that is, as a homeowner or a renter, you might not think about, right? I've had somebody say to me, I live in a condo, so I don't think you can help me. And I completely disagree, because they have a porch. They just don't know what to grow.
Right.
So here's the thing, and let's go back to your comment about, you know, a living thing. Anybody can plant seeds and germinate, but they do need care. And so it's all about like what you need, what you want to do. If you want to grow, you know, several flowers or, you know, a little plot of flowers, you will inherently feel like you need to check on them. I want to say almost daily, right? Every morning, especially like in Pennsylvania, you know, we don't have things year round, but from spring to fall, every morning I usually get up early and I exercise. But from spring to fall, I get up early and I walk through my gardens because it's sort of like its own, you know, its own routine. It's meditation. It's checking to see who did what overnight, and they will do things overnight. Understanding who needs, you know, to be trimmed or who needs water or, so you're right. It does vary. And it also kind of becomes this, well, I like to think of mine as like a science experiment, right? So, you know, I may have started with one area and then I dug out another area and then I dug out another flower bed. And, you know, we want that excitement, with the veterans that we serve. We want them to say, wow, I love that. How do I make more of it? Because then we start teaching them about propagating plants, right? You don't have to go out to, you know, a big box store every time you want to start something new. Somebody may already have it in your community. It may already be growing in your yard. All you have to do is transplant it. Mm-hmm. So very long-winded way. Yes, I'm agreeing with you. It totally varies, but you become attached to this living thing. You sure. want to see it, you know, reach this maturity to give off flowers or vegetables or, you know, whatever it is that you planted with that intention.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were talking, a thought just popped in my head too. When I was a kid growing up, my grandfather had a huge garden in his backyard. He'd come home from work. He worked in a factory. He came home from work and he'd go out in the yard and he'd do, that was his routine. He'd go out and he'd either pull weeds or, you know, make sure the plants are getting watered or whatever it was that the plants needed at that time. He'd go through and he'd do that. And that was his, sort of his decompression time where he can unwind from the day. You know, he had a long day at the factory and everything that he was doing. He needed that time to kind of decompress. But there's also a little bit of a sense of pride when you take this almost nothing, you know, you have a plot of land and you turn it into all of these plants, you know, whether they're vegetables or whether they're, you know, flowers or whatever the case may be. There's a sense of pride in seeing that the work that you're putting into it is actually paying off. And that's something that I realized from him, you know, as he was growing, as I was growing up and watching him sometimes, you know, going out into the yard and everything, seeing that, you know, he was proud of what he was able to create. And sometimes he'd come over our house and he'd have a basket full of tomatoes or something. And he'd bring them over and share them with us and share them with other people. And it was kind of like a look, you know, see what I did. Like, this is this thing that I created. And, you know, I want to share it with you.
Absolutely, which is
cool too, you know.
And I think you bring up a really good point. And that is, you know, the veterans that I've had an opportunity to meet and work with, it is all about sharing. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not just the task at hand, but it's how do I turn this out to the community and help the community?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, spot on. I'm glad that gave you that emotional memory. That's awesome. Yeah.
And it's strange too, because as we were talking about that, I remember just a week or two ago, maybe I was cutting up some vegetables with my wife, you know, before dinner, and there was something about the peppers that I was cutting up that the smell of it just took me back to that garden where mm-hmm. my grandfather was growing these vegetables all these years ago. This is over oh, I don't even want to say how long ago now, but it was a long time ago. And you know, I go back, it took me back to that. And I almost felt like I was standing in their backyard, in my grandparents' backyard, with just the smells. And, you know, I know smell is a powerful trigger for, you know, different types of emotions and stuff like that. But, you know, I feel like if you are in a position where you're just bogged down with so many negative, bad emotions from things like the trauma that comes with war and things like that. I can only see that it would help to replace perhaps replace some of those negative emotions and negative memories with some positive and good ones that maybe you might get with, you know, having a garden and you're working the garden. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some good times that you're going to have while you're doing that, you know? And if you can replace some of those memories, I only see that as a plus.
Yeah. I love that you said that. And that is exactly, you know, what we are able to be a witness to, right? When we're working, and I really do try, you know, if a veteran says to me, do you have, they describe the plant, right? Do you know of, this was, you know, this reminds me of my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And if I could see that again, and we really try, depending on the time of year, and depending on, you know, what we can get, we really try to make that happen. Because that is, you know, that's that initial connection. And to your mm-hmm. point, like the sensory component to memory and just happy, calm, you know, that's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the, you know, the memories that I have are not necessarily of me doing anything in particular in the garden, because I didn't really get it. That was kind of his baby. And I didn't really get involved in the garden too much other than, you know, when it came time to, you know, maybe pick some of the vegetables and things like that. But I'd be outside in the yard playing all the time with my cousins, my brother, and, you know, other kids that would be around there. We'd be outside playing and those are good memories, but the smell of the garden would be there and it, you know, brings you back to those happy, fun times, those good memories, and things that happen at, you know, family events that took place there. So, so that's another, I don't know, it's probably a segue and it probably,
no, you know what, it's wonderful because, you know, it makes me realize too, that those of us that are, you know, that are volunteers with the organization and we work with plants all the time, we take it for granted because we're like, well, what we know, everyone must know, right? And so to your point, like it's an opportunity that I think we could look even, you know, more closely at to help people understand, like, gosh, you know, you could grow some herbs. Like what's your favorite dish that you remember growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And let's relate it to that. And guess what? You can grow it. You can have that again. You can recreate that memory. Yeah. That's really important.
Yeah, and the other thing that you mentioned earlier too was the habit or the routine of going out in the garden and checking on the plants and things like that. And you know, there's something to be said for these habits that we create for ourselves and get ourselves in a good routine where, you know, perhaps someone is, I don't know, they're in a rut, they're in a funk, you know, whatever I know these are not technical terms or anything, but, you know, they maybe have these bad habits of, you know, whether it's drinking or, you know, they're not doing the right things that they should be doing. You know, if you can replace some of those bad habits with good habits, you know, I know for myself, like just like yourself, you know, you get up in the morning, you go exercise and, you know, things like that. I've made that a habit and it's a rare occasion. I'm either really sick or I've injured myself somehow if I'm not exercising, you know? And so there's that or other things that you might do, but you create these good habits and you know, it's almost like, you know, brushing your teeth in the morning. Like you wake up, you get out of bed, and like that's just something you do. You know, you go, you brush your teeth, and you get on with your day. But if you can take one of these habits, something like gardening, and you make it a part of your day, you almost feel like you're missing something. Like your day's not complete unless you've done this, you know?
Absolutely. At the end of, like, when we finish up, I will go out and I will, you know, maybe do some watering, just make sure everybody's like tucked in, ready to go. Right. Absolutely. I mean, that this day is not over until I finish that out. And, you know, you brought up another good point, and that is the exercise piece. There's an opportunity here, you know, to really get some good exercise depending upon what you're doing. But it is, you know, if anybody has a, you know, an Apple Watch or an app on their phone, gardening is an activity.
It is.
And it does burn calories. And I have seen, we have a Marine veteran on our board, and I have seen him break many shovels digging holes for us to put trees in. And you know, that's we kind of joke all the time, because he's like, I'm getting a workout that I'm familiar with, right? Never right. mind that he ran 10 miles before he came to volunteer, right?
Sure.
But
if there's anything that us in the military community are good at, it's digging holes, and we can do that. We can do that part pretty well. You know, so.
Well, funny enough, we actually started a YouTube channel with everything with COVID. And again, because, you know, we have all this knowledge in our head, and we thought, well, how can we sort of get that out there? And we're actually partnering with Blue Star Academy, which is an online school for military connected kids. And this is part of like their take a break platform, right? So learn something new that is outside of school. And so part of that was to put these activities on a YouTube channel. So what we're doing is it's not just, we have how to plant a seed, actually using a Dixie cup, which is awesome, because everybody has some sort of, you know, a cup like that that around laying around the house, right? And popsicle sticks. But it's also about learning how to compost, learning how to build a rock garden, right? We're getting ready to do, learning how to do a bath for butterflies, like things that are inherently potentially in the spaces of anybody, right? And while they're at home, these are things you can all do to fortify the surroundings, not only for yourself, but to improve for our pollinators, which ultimately impact our food source.
Right.
So without even really getting into like the heaviness and the science of it, you are creating a component of a sustainable footprint, which is awesome.
That is. Yeah, no, absolutely. And all of that, just all how it intertwines together, you know, with, you know, it might seem like just a small little thing that you might be doing, but it all comes together, you know, which is awesome. Well, it has been a great talking to you about all of this. Is there anything else that you might want people to know, to take away from listening to this episode about what it is that you do, or gardening in general, or anything else that maybe we haven't covered?
I mean, the only thing I would encourage people to think about, you know, doing this in their own yard, on their own windowsill. We are always available. You know, visit us, heroicgardens.org, and ask us a question. Let us know, you know, where you are, how we can help, because there are definitely organizations across the country that are doing things like this. And, you know, a lot of times I've found that the female veteran population is a little more, they tend to reach out to us more frequently than the male mm-hmm. veteran population. And I mean, this is for everybody. So however we can serve you is our primary goal.
No, that's great. And I would encourage, you know, anybody who has even the slightest interest in this, whether male or female, to reach out, visit their website, heroicgardens.org, and I'll have links to their website and all the social media accounts and everything on the show notes, so you can check that out there, you know, for the show. But Kali, thank you very much for sharing, you know, what it is that you're doing, and for what it is that you are doing in helping out veterans and the military community with everything that you do.
Well, Scott, thank you. Thanks for your service, and thank you to everybody listening out there for protecting our freedom.
All right, thank you. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.